Thank you, Lord Jesus. Act of Apostles, chapter number 2. As our team text. Act of Apostles, chapter number 2. Acts 2, are you there? Look at verses 14. Acts 2, 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my voice. He said, For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. He said, But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. So this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, quickly. When Peter, you know, the theme of our Believers Convention is what? This is that. Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, when Peter says, this is that which is spoken by the prophet. When he uses that word, this is that is spoken by the prophet. Just a short exhortation. He was explaining the event that just happened in their midst. The event that just happened in their midst. Because, you know, the people came around when that event took place. We're going to look at that event shortly. Hallelujah. People came around to look at what was happening, and Peter standing up said, these people are not drunk. When they were not drunk as you are thinking, because they thought they were drunk. They were not drunk as you are thinking. He said, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet. So meaning he is explaining what has happened and said it was spoken by the prophet. Hallelujah. So what just happened in their midst? Let's read. Chapter 2, that same chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verses 1 into 2. It said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat on them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, most times, why people get to this verse and they get stuck, some people get to actually like, what comes to their head next? You know, when they hear the word suddenly, when they hear things like suddenly and began to speak with other tongues, or they heard rushing mighty wind. You know what comes to people's mind? Most times, what comes to people's mind is Nollywood. They just picture that guy in his office or in his bedroom. He was just sitting and suddenly he just had this feeling breeze. All the doors, some people still have that picture in their mind. So they just felt on that day, the disciples were just in the same place and listening. You know, you see, okay, let's continue. So, that's what comes to a lot of people's mind. Okay, if you're here, that comes to your mind, let's see. Sometimes, let's hear, suddenly they became, okay, just wink to me. some people are ashamed. But, we've had a prayer meeting before. We had a prayer meeting before. We were praying in the Holy Ghost. All eyes were closed. Me and some pastors and some other brothers, we were praying. As we were praying, nobody's eyes was open. And while we were praying, listen, we're praying on my mouth, go over Shabbat. And then, wind came, listen, and it took off a calendar. The calendar now dropped in the person's house. It sounded, and the prayer took another gear. Oh, patata, mama! What? It was just the calendar. Are you following me? See, that is why you must feed your mind with the right words. And then see, watch the right things. Sometimes you think, there is nothing. I know it's just so proper. Hey! Most times when you need, most times you just react to things based on what you have seen before. Do you understand me? So that is why the Bible will tell you, guard your heart with all diligence. In fact, I don't know the names of the people that were there, but you know, I just discovered everybody took the next gear. And I opened my eyes and saw that it was just a clever. I don't know that, oh my, like rapture has taken place. Maybe pastor has gone. No. Hallelujah. So, you know, most people get here and what they just picture is, okay, some people will not know sense, Obi. Don't say that to them. Okay, yeah. But, you know, you just picture that Nollywood movie where batting wants to happen. They begin to play the sound, the soundtrack. You know? Or... And then something begins to, all the curtains begin to move. That comes to people's mind. Oh, that was what happened on the day of Pentecost. So the whole place was just, and it began to. So that will not make some people think what happened there was moved or, you know, but we're going to explore that today. That you will see what really happened. Hallelujah. You know that it was not breathe, that was just. No. Hallelujah. You will come to knowledge. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when he says in that verse 2, it says, and suddenly. Now consider that word suddenly. When he uses that word suddenly, he is not saying that they were all just together and just like, and everywhere. No. No. When he uses the word suddenly, you must understand who is writing. You ever taught us about context? Who is writing? Who is writing the book of Acts? Luke. Was Luke here? No. Can you see? So, Luke wrote the book of Acts. Was Luke in Acts 2? No. We'll see Luke later on, maybe in Acts 16 or thereabouts. Hallelujah. That's where he showed up. So, and you find in his write-up, chapter 2, you discover that, and they were. And they were. From chapter 16, you begin to hear, and we were. Can you see that? Because he was part now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, right now, he wrote, and they were. So, he was not there. So, how would he have known what he's writing about? He was told. Hallelujah. So, like a journalist, in uni, you will now sit down. You are now writing a reported speech. Now that reported speech is not even a first-hand. It's a first-hand reported speech. It's not even a. How should I put it? You are not the first line of action. You were not a witness of it, so you were told. Hallelujah! You were told. And in literature, you are now going to write so that the audience will see the same way or would have the feel of what happened there. Listen, are you hearing me? They would have the feel of what happened there. So they will write suddenly. So suddenly would be a third, or how should I put it? It would be a third person reported speech. Hallelujah. Because he was not there, so he was told. Hallelujah. So he will be writing what he was told. What was not originally part of. Are you hearing me? How do we know he was told? Luke chapter 1. Look at Luke 1 quickly. Look what? He was told. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, inasmuch, chapter 1 verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled amongst us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word delivered them to us. Do you see? So it was delivered to him. He was not there. So he will not write for you to see what happened there. But those who were there, If Peter was to narrate it, Peter would not say suddenly. There came a sound. Do you understand? So when you hear, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. He tries to use the figure of speech to explain the expressions in that place. Are you hearing me? So Luke will employ figure of speech to explain the emotions, or did I just say emotions? The motions, not emotions.
I'm talking about emotions.
The motions of things there. Hallelujah. So you see the motions that were there. It says there came a sound. We want to look at that word sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Luke writes that so that you would see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But to the disciples, it was not suddenly they were aware of it. We'll see this now. Hallelujah. How do we know they were aware of it? Firstly, Peter standing up to explain it shows that it was not sudden. You know, when something happens to you suddenly, you say, we were just there, and all of a sudden, bagam. Have you heard people explain this before? We're not there, and all of a sudden, bagam, we just saw smoke everywhere, fire everywhere. How did it happen? We did not know. Suddenly, bagam, we just fell down. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So when it is suddenly, Peter would not be able to explain. So Peter started up to explain and said, this is that which is written, or which was spoken by the prophet. It shows that they were aware. Because they could explain it. What you can explain, it just happened to you suddenly. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? Are you following that? Glory to God. Glory to God. What you can explain wouldn't happen to you suddenly. So Peter being able to explain it is a proof that what it was not suddenly. Hallelujah. And what did Peter call it? Look at verse 17 of Acts 2. It says, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Right? That in the last days, we saw last days last year. So we are taking it up from last year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're taking it up from where we stopped last year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you want to listen to the message, undeniable fact about the believer, right? Right? Yeah. So we're taking it from there. Undeniable fact. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, what did Peter say? He said, in the last days. We explained the last days. When you say the last days, he's not talking about the end of the world. This was when there was, or how should I put it? In the day of Pentecost, was it the last day? Or was it the end of the world? No. But Peter says in the last days. So, last days means the fulfillment of what was spoken. I've told all that, right? Hallelujah. So when you say in the last days, you just put it where? We say you can change it to be at last, right? At last. Glory to God. Meaning in the fulfillment of things, he said, I will pour out of my spirit. Now take note of that word. Peter calls it pouring out of the spirit upon all flesh. Pouring out of the spirit. It is that I will pour my spirit. It's covered with the pouring out of the spirit upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How did he know? Jesus have taught them. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24, 44. Luke 24, Jesus taught them. And Jesus will teach them that it will flow from the resurrection. That's how Jesus will teach them. Now, what just happened to them will flow from the resurrection. So that is why he will call it, I will pour out of my spirit. And we saw that in the resurrection, a man is a son forever. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he has the spirit forever. So, he says it will flow from the resurrection. That's what Jesus will teach them. That what does happen to them will flow from the resurrection. That is, it will flow from the new birth. Are you following me? From the indwelling. You have to see that shortly. Now, Luke 24, are you there? Are you in Luke 24?
Luke chapter 4, verse 44. It says, this is that. Why am I reading this is that? Luke 24:44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses. It says, in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. Right? He said, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Look at that 44. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in verse 44. Okay, before we look at verse 44, look at this. Look at this. 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.
So when he says, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, was what he explained in verses 49 today. Hallelujah. Oh, we're getting there. Hallelujah.
But look at verses 44. Verses 44. He says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. So, what Jesus is saying is that the things he said to them, the things he taught them pre-resurrection, that we speak, or put it this way, the things he taught them pre-resurrection will speak of the resurrection. When I say pre-resurrection, it's pre-crucifixion. Hallelujah, before he died. The things he spoke to them before he died will speak concerning the resurrection. Hallelujah. And it will be the same thing he will teach them in the resurrection. It will be the same truth he will explain. So that's why he said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. So meaning, he taught them again. Hallelujah. I say this to say this. Repetition is for your spiritual growth. When things are repeated, watch it when you begin to get bored of it. It shows that you are not growing. It shows that you are not valuing the things of the spirit. You are not valuing spiritual things. Because consistency is better than repetition. Hallelujah. Are you following? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So he said, these are the things we have said to you while I was still with you. So, question will now be, what was he saying to them pre-resurrection that was concerning the resurrection?
I know we said this last day, right? Hallelujah. What was he saying to them pre-resurrection that was still concerning the resurrection?
What was he saying to them pre-resurrection that was still concerning the resurrection? Look at John chapter 2. So, this time we're going back to John 2, not John 14. Hallelujah. John 2. So, we're going to explore John a bit more. Look at John 2. He was at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Now look at verses 3. And when they ran out of wine, so Jesus went to wedding. Amen. Well, now is it church wedding? Can we continue? Okay. Now, both Jesus and his disciples, they were invited, so they went. They ran out of wine. The mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. When I read this and I get to read it, woman, you just remind me of someone who went to call, who was not reading Bible. When they call the mother a woman, and you see this class of an African woman. Hallelujah. You see your mother and call her a woman. Okay. So here we go. Amen. Amen. So let's just move a bit. So when Mary said, they have no wine, Jesus' response of, my hour has not yet come, is the response to make you know that his use of wine will not be the same way man will use wine. When the mother told him, their wine is finished. Now, Jesus, the mother didn't say, convert this. The mother didn't say, turn water to wine. Are you hearing me? The mother just said, their wine is finished. So Jesus will now reply, my hour has not yet come. Now, many people have read that to me, my hour for miracles. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Because if it was his hour for miracles, the woman wouldn't have been at this amazing thing. But he was more referring to hour for miracles. Hallelujah. He says, my hour is not yet come. It shows that Jesus' response shows that the way Jesus will use wine will not be the same way man will use wine. He will use wine differently. Are you following me? He will use wine what? Differently. Hallelujah. This brother is writing. How are you not writing? Where's the writing material? When you come to church, you write. Very important. You hear me? Hallelujah. Be all with God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So how does Jesus use wine? Let's start from there. Matthew 26:28. He will use wine symbolically for the Spirit. Are you following that?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So when it says they don't have wine, that is the reality of man. So when Jesus recognized the fact that the mother was speaking the reality of man. When he said they have no wine, who was he referring to? They, man, have no wine. So how would Jesus use wine? For the Spirit. So when he said they have no wine, Jesus is replying, my hour has not come. Meaning Jesus' use of wine is for the Spirit. So the mother is seeing the reality of man. Pre-resurrection, man has not the Spirit of God. Are you following that? Man was without the wine. Are you following me? Go with the God. So when he now say, my hour has not come. So when he used the word, my hour, he wasn't, see, when he used the word hour, let's see how Jesus will use the word hour. First time you find the word hour used is in John 11:9. He uses it literally. John 11:9. Literally for the hour, normal hour of the day. It says, and Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? That is what it means. Are there not that's literal, right? Are there not 12 hours in a day? Glory to God. If anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. So he uses it literally there. Right? He will use it symbolically. To point to the event of his death, burial, and resurrection. Like that Acts 2:4. That John 2:4. We're going to come in there to see it. In John 4:21. He used it symbolically. John 4:21. He said, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Are you saying that?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You find it in Acts. Rather is in Acts. John 5:25. It said, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will what? Will live. Hallelujah. 28. John 5:28. They do not marvel for this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says 29, and comfort those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation. Hallelujah. Did you see that? He speaks of what he will do in the resurrection. You find it in chapter 12, verse 23 and 27. Chapter 12, 23, verse 27 refers to his death. Chapter 16, verse 2. John 16:2. Are you following me? John 16:2. It says, I'll start from verse 1. I said, these things are spoken to you that you should not be, that permit me. So this is I've written to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out now. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time, that is what, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Did you see that? The time is coming. Talking about post-resurrection. Hallelujah. Acts 16, verse 4. He said, but this is I've told you, that when the time comes, you will remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You find those in verses 25. It says, these things are spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. Are you following that? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
About the Father. 26. In that day. Did you see that? In that day you ask nothing in my name. I did not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. That is the word in that day also. You have that word in that day. So another word used similarly is the word his day. You find it also in John 14:20. In that day. Refer to that hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Following me. Glory to God. So what will happen in that day? John 14. What will happen in that day or in that hour? John 14:17. I'll start from verse 16. He said, I'll go to the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Mark that word forever. He said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because neither sees him nor know him, but you know him because he dwells in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Verse 20. And that day you will know. Which day? When I will come to you. When you will receive the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, that day you will know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So his day, we will receive his Spirit, or we have received his Spirit in his day, or we have his Spirit in his day, because it's not a past event, it's a present continuous event. Hallelujah. We are in his day. Hallelujah. We are in his day. You know when people make mistakes, when they try to calculate and say 1,000 years is like a day before the Lord, so they now start doing maths. I've done that kind of stupid maths before. Say 1,000 years. Because you don't understand what Peter is talking about. See, so that means, this is how we calculate. We say, meaning there will be a rapture. And after rapture will take place for 7 years. So that's 7 years. 7 years, a day. No, so it's not take place for 7 years. Listen. And before rapture, we're not calculating what rapture before rapture. Glory to God. So what is rapture? People will take it out of the earth. Wonderful. By who? Just to appear in the sky. Remember what I said last year? I said false doctrine is if anybody points your attention and shows you this is Christ outside the believer. Hallelujah, it's false doctrine.
Christ seen outside the believer is not the doctrine of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So when I calculated that between Genesis and Malachi, we're calculating around 4,000 years. So 4,000 is like 4 days. You know, I will do a quick walk. I will cut it short so that we were doing all those maths. And what was our guiding principle? 1,000 years is like a day before the Lord. No, you will miss it. Hallelujah. And we're calculating it like, so on the last day will be the seventh day. That was 7,000 years. We are good, right? So that's it from Jesus to now. Where we now have the issue was when the calendar now moved from the ancient lunar solar calendar to the Gregorian calendar. So we now start having AD being counted not from when Jesus died but when he was born. Because you have BC before Christ, AD started from when he was born. So there were a lot of miscalculations. So people now began to say, okay, we're having 10 years, we're having 15, 20, 30, 40 years. I remember there was a time I got some pastor and said, sir, we are in extra time. Did you remember? Hallelujah. So we are, he said, we full time will start the blue, just like a football match. The extra time has not ended. No. Glory to God. Don't mind that I laughed, but you know. It's just bad doctrinal persuasions. Why is it bad doctrinal persuasion? Because you're cooking just the scripture. Whereas scripture would collaborate each other. There's no other collaboration in scripture where 1,000 years is like a day. When you use 1,000 years like a day, it's showing you that your years, your days are in this day. Hallelujah. So when a man is born again, he is in his day. My years are in his day. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? So let's just move ahead a bit. Glory to God. Now, where are we? So when he says, in that day, He's saying in that day what we would receive is the word, is the spirit. Did you see that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in John 2, when he says, my hour is not yet come. When he says, my hour is not yet come. What will happen in his day? We'll receive what? What will be his hour? His hour is his day, right? Right? So, when he says, my hour is not yet come, would that be the giving of the Spirit, right? So he's saying, it's not yet time for my resurrection. Because in the resurrection, man will receive his Spirit. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. In the resurrection, man will receive his Spirit. So, quickly, when he says, my eyes not yet come, he was referring to the time for the resurrection. Hallelujah. Was referring to the time for the resurrection. He says, my eye is not yet come. Refer to the time for the resurrection. Because in the resurrection, the man who believes, who will be the man who believes? Look at verses 26. John 14. Verse 24. He says, he who loves me. Verse 23. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our home with him. Are you following that? We will come to him and make our home with him. What is he telling us? Glory to God. What is he telling us? He said, when a man is born again, when a man believes, the man will receive the new wine. Are you following that? A man receives the new wine. What is the new wine? His spirit. So, the new wine will be used for the spirit received in the resurrection. Are you following me? That is John 2. So, back to Luke 24. We'll explore more tomorrow. But we'll go back to Luke 24. Look at verse 45. It says, and he opened he that understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. That they might comprehend the scriptures. It means that he taught them. And what happened? And they believed. Hallelujah. What did they believe? When he said he taught them, and they believed the scriptures. That's what he's saying there. He says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Meaning they understood, they believed the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what will be the scripture? When he said the scriptures, they believe the scripture. What will be the content in the scriptures? His resurrection, right? Hallelujah. Will that be his resurrection? That will be his resurrection. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when he says that, and they believe the scriptures, it means they believe the resurrection. Hallelujah. They were saved at that point. Can you follow me? They were saved at that point. So, when you say they believe the scriptures, that is, they believe in the resurrection, right? Right? I need to follow me now. They believe in the resurrection, right? Were they saved? They were saved. Glory to God. So, another question. Did they receive the Spirit? Did they receive the Spirit? Galatians 3. Let's see that. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Verses 3. Oh, sorry. Verses 2. He said, this I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Did you see that? So, when a man is born again, he receives the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, in verse 49 of Luke 24. Luke 24, 49. Are you following me? Let's start from verse 46. And he said to them, say, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. He says to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, say, as you are witness of these things, say, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He said, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Let's look at that in verse 49. Remember, I said this will be the same explanation for Act 2, right? Right? Did I say that? Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Look at verse 49. So this instruction, when he says, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now this instruction will be a part of what he taught them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Lord.
Hallelujah. We've seen that when he says the promise of the Father, we'll be referring to the what? To the Spirit, right? And we have seen that by believing on the gospel, a man receives the promise of the Father, which is the Spirit, right? Right?
Now, the preposition to look out for here in verse 49 is the promise of my Father upon. That's the preposition upon.
Are you following me?
Upon. So, when he says upon, let's look at how that word upon is used in the book of Acts. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. He said, to the uttermost part of the earth. So, he uses the word upon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness. So, the spirit upon will imply what? Utterance here. Hallelujah. You'll be witnesses of me. Something, an activity. Take note of that. An activity. You will be witnesses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Acts 2. Okay. Verses 17. Where we are explaining. Right? It says, it shall come to pass in the last days. This is Peter. It says, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. What would happen? What would be the effect? It says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Did you see that? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So, the spirit upon, again, we would see an activity. And that activity primarily will be what? Speaking. Utterance. Are you hearing me? Primarily, it will be utterance. Speaking. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Glory to God. And when did we see this happen? In the book of Numbers. Right? Glory to God. The 70 elders. The 70 elders. The spirit was taken off from Moses and was upon them. What happened? They all prophesied. So the first time we saw it also in scriptures, in Numbers, they prophesied when the spirit was upon them. Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Very important. Glory to God. Look at Acts 10. Acts 10. Verse 44. Acts 10:44. He said, while Peter was still speaking, this was. He said, the Holy Ghost fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard. Did you see that? They did what? They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Did you see that? They did what? They heard them. Primarily, it will be what? Speaking. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Primarily, it will be speaking. So when you hear the spirit upon in the book of Acts, it will be what? Speaking primarily. It involves an activity, but the primary activity is what? Speaking. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts 8. Oh, I skipped that. Acts 8 verse 15. That is Peter in Samaria. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And when it has come, And when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For it has not yet fallen upon none of them. They were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I've seen somebody who tried to... I told us about that young guy. Hallelujah. A friend of mine. Hallelujah. So, he just began to make... He began to say some funny things along this line. That, you know, when you, there's a difference between being born again and receiving and the Spirit and receiving the Spirit. When you are born again, it's Jesus you have received. When you are... No. Hallelujah. I remember 2004. I 2004, 2005. I had that conversation with someone, and the person was trying to make me see that they are, you know, and then I said, it might be true, but because I didn't understand scriptures. Hallelujah. Much like I do today. Hallelujah. Even I might say I know scriptures, I'm still learning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that was not what he's talking about here. He said they were baptized in the name of the Lord, right? He said the Spirit had not fallen upon. So he was referring to what? Utterance. We will see that when you read down. And he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Right? That word received the Holy Ghost is the word lambano. We are getting there. Hallelujah. We'll get there soon. Let me see. Okay, we'll get to see that tomorrow. Hallelujah. It's tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the word lambano. So it shows your own activity. It shows what you are involved in. Are you following me? Glory to God. So it's not like, and they received the Holy Ghost. No, they took a hold of what they have. Lambano is to take of what you have. What is made available to you to take of it. So when he said, and they received the Holy Ghost, meaning they took of what they have available to them or available in them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. Okay. So, primarily, in the book of Acts, when you hear the Spirit of Paul, it will be referring to an activity that will be what? Speaking primarily, right? Speaking primarily. Hallelujah. You need to take note of this as we move ahead. Speaking. Glory to God. So let's go back to that Luke 24, where we came from. Luke 24:49. So when you say, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, right? Are you seeing that? Glory to God. Promise of my Father upon you. He now says, now, in extending the promise of the Father upon, he now says, but tarry. Did you see that word? But tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Now, he uses another word, tarry. Now, in our today world, if you use the word, if you say tarry, one would mean to sit down and do nothing. You know, the name of that young guy, my wonderful neighbor. I used to sing, all I know is to lie down, eat, sleep, and belief. That is tarry. Hallelujah.
Lord.
But that is not what Jesus is talking about. Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
So, he's not saying you should wait for something to happen. Just sit down and do nothing. If you read it like that, you will miss it. Hallelujah. Because we must read the scripture just as the first century believers. Those who had it then. We must see as if we must read it there. So, or the way we must see the way they saw it then. So how would we see the way they saw it then? That means we must go back to how words were used then. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Because grammar over time has evolved. English over time has evolved. Grammar over time has evolved. Hallelujah. So that is why we have to go back to see what they saw and hear what they heard. Hallelujah. So when he says tarry, it's from the Greek word kataizo. Kataizo. K-A-T-H-I-Z-O. Kataizo. Kataizo. Now that word kataizo doesn't imply to sit and wait for something to happen. No. Are you following me? Now, it's because people think Acts 2 experience, they sat down and they were waiting. They were just sitting down and just looking up. They were just dancing and all of a suddenly, and they come together. That day has come. No. Are you following me? So you need to understand what he told them before now. Glory to God.
The Lord.
Now that word, kataizo, the import of the word implies to be doing something. It doesn't mean to sit down and do nothing. That word itself implies to be doing something. So what we have today as tarry is the opposite of the real word. You understand? When you hear tarry, you don't just go and sit down and, what are you doing? I'm tarrying. What are you doing? I'm tarrying. I'm tarrying. Doing nothing. No. Let's look at how that word is used. Matthew 5:1-2. Kataizo. Matthew 5:1-2. We see how it used in the four gospels, Matthew 5:1-2. And seeing multitude, he went up to a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So that's the word seated. He was not just sitting and doing nothing. What was he doing? He taught them. Are you following that? Glory to God. In Matthew 13, you see activity. Matthew 13:48. Look at verse 48. I was talking about verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessel and threw the bad away. They sat down and gathered. They didn't just sit down and look at it. They sat down and gathered. That is the word tarry. Sat down and gathered. Are you following that? Are you following that?
Yes, sir.
They sat down and gathered. You know, moping. You find also in Matthew 19:28. Matthew 19:28. Is that Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits in his throne of glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So they will sit judging. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That will be preaching. Glory to God. Activity. Did you see the activity? Preaching. Glory to God. You see the activity. Matthew 26:36. Now he took them to pray. We all know that story. Hallelujah. Came to Gethsemane with his disciples. He said to them, "Sit here while I go to pray over there." Did you see that? Hallelujah. We saw that he kept coming back to see them. He said, "Can't you watch with me for 1 hour?" Hallelujah. So when he told them, "Sit while I go to pray," he was not telling them to sit down and be sleeping. He actually implied they should pray. Hallelujah. At the point he came to them and said, "Pray that ye fall not into temptation." Hallelujah. So you will be praying. Hallelujah. Are you following that word?
Yes,
so tarry implies to be involved in activity. And that activity will involve your efforts. So it shows one's effort. Hallelujah. So when he says the Spirit upon in Luke 24, it shows that it will be the activity of man initiated by man. Did you see that? When he says the Spirit upon, it will be the activity of man initiated by man. Hallelujah. Who initiated man? So, going back to Acts 2, are you seeing Acts 2? I need to look at Acts 2 now. So, automatically, they should be tarrying, right?
Yes, sir.
So, what were they doing? Acts 1. Look at Acts 1. What were they doing? Let's look at Acts 1:14 quickly. "And all this continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So they didn't just sit down and counting sillies. They were not counting the sillies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. No. They were praying. So starting involved activity, and they were aware of it. Hallelujah. 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 In fact, when he said they were in one accord in one place, it means they were doing the same thing. So, if they are praying, everybody is praying. Are you following? Glory to God. Glory to God. We'll get there. So, look at that act. Luke 24:49. We are using Luke 24 today. In this day, today to explain Acts 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, look at Luke 24:49 quickly. Luke 24:49. It says, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you." But Father, now we said it implies my effort, right? And it shows an activity in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued. Now that word comes into play again. Endued. That's the word enduo in the Greek. That word enduo implies to put on, to wear. To put on, to wear. It also shows one's effort. It also shows one to wear. Something you put on. Hallelujah. So when you use the word power from on high, power from on high, you put on power from on high. Now, we've done that study. Hallelujah. We've done that study. Now, when you hear power from on high, it will refer to what? Power from within. Right? So the on high will be what? Within. Glory to God. So where would the power be? Within. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul will say that power is at work in us. Are you following me? The power is at work where? In us. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So when he says to, listen. So when he, so what Jesus is explaining to them is that when he says the spirit upon or the promise of the Father upon will imply to take of what is available to the believer. That's what it means. To take what is available to the believer, because he has now told you that the power is within. Hallelujah. So when you hear upon, the spirit upon, it means to take of what is available to the believer, which is what? The spirit within. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I began to understand this truth a bit when I read a book, The Spirit Upon and the Spirit Within. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Very important. Very, very important. Sammy, are you in this world? Glory to God. You are echoing. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, if we now go back to Peter's explanation in Acts 2, verse 17. Let's look at Peter's explanation again. Acts 2, 17. When it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Now when Peter says, "I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh," it implies to take of what is available. To take of what is available. And he calls it what? "Your sons and daughters shall prophesy." He calls it prophecy. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. So Peter is explaining what has happened to them just few verses away, and he says, "Hey, what you are seeing happening is what Joel called, what Joel thought and said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Out of my spirit upon all flesh. And the resultant effect is that what? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So that means it calls to take of what is available within the believer. It calls it prophecy primarily. So what this implies is that the primary activity that best describes the spirit upon when believers are gathered is called utterance. Are you seeing that? It's utterance, speaking, primarily, when believers are gathered together. Hallelujah. The primary activity that best describes the spirit upon is what? Utterance. And utterance is tongues, interpretations, and prophecy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Did you see that?
Yes, sir.
Can you see that? Amen.
Amen.
It's called what? Prophecy. And Paul will make us see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14 verses 5, you say, read from verses 2 into verse 5, from verse 1 into 8, but no, verses 5, he will call prophecy tongues plus interpretation. Hallelujah. So prophecy is tongues and interpretation. So what this implies, that in Acts 2, they spoke in tongues and they gave the interpretation. So what you are saying in Acts 2, they spoke in tongues and they gave the interpretation. Look at verses 4 of Acts 2, quickly. Verses 4 of Acts 2. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they spoke in tongues. So Luke makes you see that they spoke in tongues, right? Look at verse 11. It says, Cretans and Arab. He said, we will let them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. That means we hear the wonderful works of God. Paul will explain it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Quickly rush to 1 Corinthians 14. I want you to see that. 1 Corinthians 14. Verses 23 to 25. Look at what Paul will say. He says, therefore, if the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say you are out of your mind? Say, for if all prophesy, and the unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he's convinced by all and he's convicted by all. And thus the secret of his heart is revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly amongst you. Was this what happened in Acts? Hallelujah. He said, they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. So that implies that they heard them speak out the interpretations also. Hallelujah. So primarily, amongst believers, tongues plus interpretation. Primarily amongst believers, the primary activity is what? Prophecy. Or what I put, tongues and interpretation. And we've seen it in the book of Acts and from Paul's explanation. Hallelujah. This will be referred to in the book of Acts as the Spirit of Paul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, we actually did a whole lot of explanation in our teaching pneumaticals. So, get pneumaticals and listen to that. Hallelujah. On this topic, especially on tongues and interpretation. Hallelujah. Now, look at something in that Acts 2 as we begin to close for today. So, we'll continue from here tomorrow. Look at Acts 2. Quickly. Acts 2. Again. Look at verses 2. It says, listen. It says, and suddenly. Now, remember we said, when you hear the word and suddenly, it's not like, right? It's not Nollywood. It's something that it's a report writing. So it's because of, it's how Luke would document that event there. Glory to God. So it said, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat on each of them. So, when he says, a sound out of a rushing mighty wind, this will be an activity also. It will be an activity also that Peter will now put with the word in figures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reduce that. Glory to God. Reduce it a bit. That Luke will now write what? In figures. Hallelujah. Figure of speech. So it will be an activity When he said a sound from heaven, like of a rushing mighty wind, will be an activity also. Another activity will be similar to Acts 4:31. Will be similar to Acts 4:31. Look at Acts 4:31 quickly. He said, and they prayed, and the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word with boldness. He says, the place where they were was shaking. So, what was shaking? Will it be bricks that were shaking? Bricks can't have shaken. You know, you could deceive children in children's church or Sunday school years back. We're told, we shall praise the Lord and children shall hallelujah. He said, let the hallelujah shake the fan. Your hallelujah is not going past the ceiling. He said, let your hallelujah be thunderous. Let it shake the ceiling. And as children, and you know what I do? My eyes will be up. Hallelujah. I just want to see the fan shake, but the fan is not shaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, let your hallelujah shake the foundation of this church. We have shouted hallelujah and our voice always went, but nothing shook. So when he sees the place where they were was shaking, if you are thinking it was bricks, we should go back. You should go back to school to collect your school fees. All your school fees. Yes. Because it shows that education is not your thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because common sense will make you know, just common literal will make you know that the bricks wouldn't have wouldn't have shook. Hallelujah. So when he says the place where they were was shaking, that is Luke writing again. Reported speech. Right? He's reporting what he was told. And he said the place was shaking. He's explaining an activity of men. So what will be shaking? Will be things and the men within or inside that place. Hallelujah. So he was showing an activity that the place was shaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you heard things rattle before? Or people just, whoo! Okay, you know when we demonstrate, hallelujah. We can say the place was shaking. That is, no, you are not there, hallelujah. But you are writing so that someone who was not a part of it would know this was what happened. So you say the place was shaking. Hallelujah. So similarly, they will write the same thing to in Acts 2. He said, the sound of washing mighty wind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in essence, Peter explained. First, what you will see from tomorrow. We'll see from tomorrow morning. Peter will explain first that the Holy Ghost meeting will proceed from the resurrection. We'll see that tomorrow. And primarily, there will be utterance. Utterance gift will be the primary gift at work. And everyone will be found rejoicing. That's what Luke writes. And we see also. Everyone will be found rejoicing. Hallelujah. Everyone will be found rejoicing. Stirred up for the work of ministry. We'll see that. Hallelujah. Stirred up for the work of ministry. You know, it's a year of supernatural harvest. Hallelujah. Supernatural harvest. Hallelujah. And we are stirred. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are stirred. We are stirred for the work. We are stirred for the work. Hallelujah. 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 So, meaning, what Luke writes for us to see, we'll explore this further tomorrow. Is that in the Holy Ghost meeting, we'll have activities. We'll have activities. And part of the activity, part of the activity will be what? Or trance, but we'll also have activities. Hallelujah. The place was shaking. We'll see that. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Rushing mighty wind and activity. Amen. Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. Now let's practice. Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. Just thank you. Just thank you. Thank you. Oh, my God. Just worship Him. Just worship Him.
Calling us now to the rest. Be-